Welcome to Becoming One. I'm Bryant.
And I'm Amy.
And we are so excited to have you guys back.
Yeah, thanks for coming back to chat with us.
Man, here we go. Another podcast where I get to sit and enjoy you.
Mm-hmm.
Have a good time.
Yeah.
So let's start off with a story or some sort.
Okay, yeah. I like these. This kind of helps us get to know each other a little better.
So what do you have for us today?
You don't know what story
this
I'm going to
This is a surprise. She told me, do you want to know? And I said, no, just wing it. So
the story that I wanted to bring up today was the first time one of us told the other that they loved
really?
The other one.
Is that the...
That's the story.
Can I bypass this story?
No, you said surprised me, so we got to go there. So we had been dating for a while, and we were at your house, and we had been hanging out, and it was almost time for me to leave and go home.
That sounds about right.
I remember you had your back against the wall, trying to look all smooth and cool.
That sounds about right.
That's about right. And I think I gave you a goodbye kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And you looked me in my eyes, and we had never said this to each other before.
That's right.
And you said, I love you. And I looked back up at you, and I said,
Thank you.
I said, that kind of hurts my heart, but I said, thank you. And you looked like you had maybe seen a ghost. You had this like blank stare, like, but I'm going to play this cool. You just didn't say anything. And then I just said, bye.
So I want you guys to notice a trend when we talk about me saying I love you to her. And then she basically just disses me. I mean, I don't even know. I do remember that, and I remember thinking, what just happened? Like, maybe she doesn't feel that way. But, I mean, it was good for me. It kind of humbled me a little bit.
And really, the way I felt was that I did love you too, but I just didn't want you to know that you had me like that.
Right.
So I wanted to make you wait a little bit before I said
you,
it. So
you did good.
Made you have to work a little bit harder.
Yeah.
It's kind of mean. But
that's the trend, though. Never tell Amy that you love her.
I'll shut you down.
She'll end up breaking your heart. So. Oh, that's a great story. I'm glad you decided to throw that one.
You're welcome.
Huge surprise.
You're welcome.
I'm going to have to think of one that I can get you back on, though. I'm working on that for the next
great.
Podcast.
What did I do?
I'm going to think about one that I can get you back on.
Great. So. I already know some.
All right. So here we go.
All right. Okay, so on to the topic that we're going to talk about today is loneliness in marriage. And so I think when we think of a lonely person, it's someone that's sitting by themselves, you know, all alone. But what we find sometimes is that even in a marriage, even with another person around all the time, we can still feel really lonely, really ignored. And so that's what we're going to be addressing today.
So let's get into some of the expectations.
Yeah, when you're first married.
Well, yes.
Yeah. So I remember when we were dating and we were engaged and it was almost time to be married. Mm-hmm. I just thought, oh, I can't wait to spend all our time together. We're going to live together. We're going to cook together. We're going to eat together. We're going to get to sleep together. We won't have to go home and wait a whole 12 hours to see each other again. And so this idea of getting to be together, you know, and not, you know, missing each other and feeling alone mm-hmm. was so appealing. And it was this fairy tale of we're going to be married and be together.
So it sounds like you watched a lot of Disney.
What?
Tales
you didn't feel that way? You did feel that way about me. Whatever.
I did somewhat. Yeah, I agree. And that's the thing. We come into the marriage with false expectations, really, with false hope almost.
Well, I would say naive.
Naive, yes. Yeah. I like that word.
Yeah,
I like
a little naive word. Of what it really entails when life gets busy.
But I wonder how many women have that thought
and I think even men, they're like, we're going to be together and she's going to be this and that and she's going to fulfill all my needs and she's going to, you know, be my sweet wife who takes care of me, you know, and then when she gets distracted with other things, you know, the man can be left feeling lonely as well. So, right.
So you recently
read a study on this. This was
so
quite
why don't you
shocking.
Share some of that those details on the story there.
Okay, so this was from Fox News, and this was Julianne Holt Lundstad. She's a PhD professor of psychology at Brigham Young University, and she looked at findings from these huge analysis. These were from millions of people, and what they realized was social isolation and loneliness was actually a huge factor in premature death. What they found was that loneliness was actually becoming a major reason for death. I mean, that's kind of crazy. One thing she said is that we're increasingly a people who pose, and posing leaves the poser and his or her audience feeling empty and alone. And so definitely one of the things she was saying is that technology contribute to that feeling of isolation. But, you know, just this idea that even loneliness can cause a greater risk of death than obesity now in America.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I mean, wow, you think about all the health and problems that obesity causes with heart and your internal organ functions and how that can lead to a premature death, and loneliness can cause you to die quicker than that. I mean, this is a real issue.
Mm-hmm.
That just astounded me. And I thought that was so fascinating, dealing with this topic of loneliness and marriage, because I honestly don't think loneliness only affects single people. I think you can feel so alone even in a house full of people, or right. a work full of people, or a church full of people, mm-hmm. you can still feel alone.
That's really, really good. So let's go ahead and get into some of the, just some practical things that we will share, kind of where we've been and on this topic, and some ways that we can help our friends out today. So here's some of the questions we kind of thought of when we were prepping for this. What are some of the things that pull our attention away from our spouse? For me, just remembering what we went through when we had kids.
Yeah.
So adding kids to the equation,
I don't think
definitely,
you're the only one in that.
Yeah.
I hear this from guys, especially all the time, because the baby is in the mother's body.
Yeah.
She's usually responsible for the feeding and a lot of times daily care,
right.
not always, but a lot of times daily. And so the husband, who was first priority, now becomes second priority because you've got this new little human life depending
right.
on you to live, you know, and figuring that out. So, sorry, go
well,
ahead.
I remember when we had Paris.
Our oldest.
And she was a little baby, and I felt jealousy at sometimes. Mm-hmm. Just, I think the closeness of you all's relationship, the bond, and just that I felt like...
left out?
Yeah, I felt left out, or just felt like I didn't fit, or like the third wheel at times.
Mm-hmm.
I think she'd be the only child I figured it out with the other ones, but I know with that first one, it was like culture shocking.
Yeah.
Because you had always been with me, and anytime I'm like, hey, I want to hang out with you, you're up for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for a couple reasons, I think you were tired more often, mm-hmm. I'm sure, because you weren't sleeping much.
Right.
And I felt like I could always come to you and get you to just hang out whenever I wanted to. And and that changed a lot.
Yeah.
And I think I just saw the closeness in that relationship,
mm-hmm.
and I felt like that should have been me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why am I not getting that kind of time, you know? So.
And that's something I think that's inevitable, especially with your first one or two. Hopefully over time, you can learn how to shift that focus mm-hmm. and parent together and still set aside time for each other. But that is, you know, really difficult in the beginning. And if The husband is still feeling like the kids are more of a priority than him. He's left out after years and years of having kids. That can be a major issue. And especially we as women, we have to make sure that, you know, our world does not only revolve around our kids, but that we are nurturing our relationship with our spouse, and we are giving our spouse our attention and our focus as well.
Well, then you get through the newborn stage, and then you know what you have to worry about?
What?
All the kids' activities.
Oh, man.
So it's an epidemic that we face today. I have never, so I coach my son's basketball. Our daughters do dance. Sons even do dance as well. And then the girls do different sports. I have never seen anything like it. So you usually have, I would say, 2 to 3 practices a week as far as sports go. And you have some type of game on the weekend.
And that's per child, yeah.
And it's
per activity.
I mean, it's, I would imagine every family feels like we feel a lot of times. You just feel like the energy level has been completely taken from you, just zapped.
All
your attention and focus is put into, we've got to get this kid here. And especially when you have 5 of them, I mean, there's a lot of carting kids around that we do. So
what are some of the ways that we can help not contribute to our spouse feeling lonely in the midst of having kids, raising them, and their activities? I think for women, sometimes we have unresolved hurts, and this may be a secret that we keep from our husbands and from other people, but we have unresolved hurts, and we kind of want some distance. We want some walls up between our spouse and us. And so your kids can be a convenient excuse to create distance between you and your spouse, because you're not, you don't have to say, I'm hurt, or I'm scared to be close to you, or I'm not sure how we're fitting anymore. And so you can just say, well, I've got to do this with the kids, and I've got to pay attention to the kids, and I've got to do this. And it's kind of a convenient way to not have that intimacy. Sometimes if you are tired and worn out, you don't feel like being intimate and close to your spouse, and the kids are a convenient excuse. That way you don't have to address any sticky topics. You can just say, well, the kid's this or the kid's that. And I would challenge women out there to not let your kids be an excuse for what God wants to do as far as healing in your heart or healing in your marriage. If there are things that need to be tackled as far as intimacy or reaching out to your husband, don't let your kids be an excuse to keep you from doing that.
That's good.
So another thing that may pull us away from feeling close and connected with our spouse is technology.
Ugh, technology.
This is so huge right
so
now.
True. Yeah.
We're trying to teach our kids how to limit technology while we're learning ourselves.
Right.
We didn't have this amount of technology growing up in young adulthood. We didn't have to put limitations on ourselves or learn limitations. So now as adults, we have access for entertainment and engagement. 24 hours a day. And some of us are still learning how to set boundaries for ourselves and limitations. I know there's like so many different devices. There's television, phone, iPads.
Xbox. For me, it's the Xbox.
Work. Yeah, there's so many different forms of technology.
Yeah.
And if every time you look at your spouse, they're on their phone and staring at a screen or staring at a television show or Netflix. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. Before, you'd have to wait for your favorite show to come on.
Yep.
Now you can record all your favorites and watch hours and hours at a time.
Just
and
binge. You
yeah,
just
like
binge
DVR,
watch.
Netflix. You know, it's just always something. And so at some point, we have to grow up and we have to be able to tell ourselves no, which even as adults, we have to do that. So I know a huge way that we can feel lonely as a spouse is if our spouse is not setting limitations for themselves on technology.
Yeah, so not being engaged.
Yeah.
And that's the crazy thing is it's something we have to teach our kids, but like you said, adults,
we're still learning.
We're in the same boat as the kids.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to instruct them on how much they need to do this. And monitor what they're doing when you're not even monitoring yourself, you know?
And I remember you make fun of me for this because I will tell you,
that sounds hey, right.
Look at me in the eyes.
Yes,
you know what I'm, where I'm going here? I'll be like, hey, just when I'm talking to you, I want you to look at me in the eyes so that
she's
I feel like you're listening.
Attention.
You're like, I can hear you even if I'm not looking at you, but I don't feel like you can. And so also sometimes I just want to be connected. Again, mm-hmm. I remember hearing about a study years. This was so long ago. I don't remember exactly where, but I remember learning about how when you look at someone in the eyes, it makes them feel loved and it makes them feel valued.
Yeah.
And who more do we want to feel loved and valued than our spouse?
Right.
And if you actually stop and make yourself see how much you're really looking at your spouse in the eyes when you're around them.
Mm-hmm.
At least for me, when I did that, I was shocked at how little we looked at each other in the eyes because you're around each other, you're doing things, and you're like, yeah, we spent time together, we were in the same room.
Right.
But then when you make a point to look at them in the eyes, it's like, yeah. Whoa, we haven't really. So anyways,
right. That's
just kind of a little extra thrown out there.
I love that. So one thing I love about Amy, this is a side note. This is my...
Are you going rogue right now?
Yeah, it's okay. Like my ADHD. Is it ADHD? Is that what they call it?
ADD.
Yeah, let's go with that. She'll read an article somewhere online like 4 years ago, and she'll say, and I remember this article I read. 4 years ago.
I'm if just it like, interests me.
I'm like, how do you remember? But she could just pull that stuff out. It's so crazy.
Yeah.
That's amazing to me.
I'm just a wealth of information.
I guess I'm like that with sports, though.
Yeah, if it's a sports trivia,
yeah,
you got it.
Sorry, I kind of threw off your rhythm there.
So I think like a great way to check yourself on technology to see if you are making sure you don't want to make your spouse feel lonely is... see if you are able to have space between electronic devices. Do you go from the television to your phone, to your work email, mm-hmm. to an Xbox, to an iPad? Do you always have to have something on? Do you always have to have a screen on at some point? Or are you able to be at peace
mm-hmm.
with just being? Are you okay with silence? Are you okay without distractions? Can you set your phone, say, on the counter in the kitchen or in your bedroom and walk away from it for an hour?
Right.
Can you turn off the TV and not turn on a different device for an hour or two? You know, I think that's a great way to check yourself because it just becomes such a habit and routine you don't even realize you're doing it.
And it's crazy. I was pretty heavy into social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at the end of last year, I decided to just go cold turkey and go 21 days without social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had zero desire for it ever since.
Kind of makes your brain feel so cloudy, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, so I think the key to really checking yourself in that area, like for me, I can... If I have not connected to, and well, my kids will just call me out too mm-hmm. for one thing and be like, man, you've been playing Xbox for 2 hours or, you know, they'll call me out on it. But when I get done and I almost feel kind of like a zombie, kind of lifeless,
yeah.
like mm-hmm. I don't want to talk. I don't want to be engaged. I just feel like sitting and doing nothing, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm usually like, huh, I probably played that game a little too long, I think,
yeah.
you know?
Sometimes, too, I think a day of rest from something that might call your name a lot. Like, say it's social media.
Right.
Say if your favorite one is Facebook. Just delete. You can bring the app back up later. Delete it for a day so where you can't just easily click on it. And mm-hmm. see if you can go a day without it and mm-hmm. see the peace of mind it brings. Or say, hey, this evening we're not going to watch – 5 shows in a row, you know, we're going to watch one. Just set some limitations for yourself and just see if you can rise to the occasion, see if you can rise. And because really we're setting examples for our kids if we have kids and we're sending a message to our spouse. We right. invest our time into what we value. Do we value electronics more than our spouse?
Right.
Our time will tell us that.
Right.
So the next thing that can pull our attention away from our spouse is work. Don't you agree?
I agree. So Psalm 127:2 says this, "It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones.
So true.
So good.
Whenever we work continually, we have no space for our relationships. Right. And that work always interrupts our relationship time. For me, I own my own business. And so I can work 7 days a week if I want. I can work 24/7. There's always an email to be answered. There's always something that needs to be ordered. There's always someone waiting on a response from me. I can always find something to do with work.
Right.
And again, this comes with setting boundaries for yourself so that your family and your spouse feels loved. I have to set a boundary for myself and say, I'm not going to work from this point to this point, so that my spouse and my kids can have my attention during this time. And you have to use self-control if you don't want to alienate your family from you.
Right.
And it can be like an addiction. It can be an easy distraction to not have to deal with the real world. You can bury yourself in emails, or you can bury yourself in work projects, and you don't, that's easier than having relationships with the people around you. And so you really have to purpose to do that, I feel like. I know one lady I talked to, she's a successful real estate agent and just a really awesome, sweet lady. I love her. And she had an Apple Watch where she was getting emails on her phone 24/7, and she ended up getting rid of her Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. But that was why. It was because she was constantly looking at it, constantly distracted with her work, and she could never get away from her work. And the family in her life, her husband, her kids, were suffering from that.
Right.
And so I felt like she made a very mature decision for her personally, because again, as a real estate agent, I'm sure work can always be there, and she had to make a choice to separate herself from having access to work 24/7. So I think that's really important. So to kind of wrap all this up, hopefully the people that are listening care if they're making their spouse feel lonely. But sometimes you can let your spouse know, hey, I'm feeling ignored. I feel lonely. Or maybe you don't even know how to voice it, but you do feel lonely. And your spouse really doesn't care. They genuinely are obsessed with their work, and they're not stopping to pay attention to you. Or they're genuinely obsessed with electronics and technology, and they don't get it. They don't get how lonely it makes you feel. And they aren't making you a priority, even though maybe you've brought it up again and maybe again and again. You know, what do you do if you feel lonely and your spouse doesn't care? I think part of that is, practically, we can't make our spouse our God. We can't make our spouse our entire world.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope for our listeners that your spouse cares if they make you feel lonely. But if they don't, I think that we have to purpose to find our purpose with God, not just from our spouse.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where I can say, God, whether my spouse gives me the attention that I want him or her to give me or not, you and I are okay. You know, you give me the attention I need. Let's fulfill your purpose in me, whether my husband or wife is giving me attention or not. You know, what can I put my hand to,
right,
to where it doesn't hurt so bad? You know what I mean? Like, okay, I really want my spouse to be on this journey with me, but in the meantime, what can I do? What, maybe you could volunteer, or maybe you could write letters for certain, you know what I mean? Like, there's so many different things that God can show you to fill that void for now, and keep praying and keep seeking that intimacy with your spouse. If they just won't give it to you right now, fulfill your purpose with God no matter what. And that doesn't mean at the expense of your family. I'm not saying, oh, my spouse isn't giving me attention, I'm going to go out clubbing. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about doing something, you know, separate or crazy. But I am talking about not getting your purpose just from your spouse, but praying for creative ways to fill that void with God. Okay, God, he's not giving me the kind of attention I need. What's something purposeful and meaningful I can do with my time in the meantime? Every time I feel ignored, okay, I'm going to go reach out to someone that I know just lost their spouse and give them attention. You know what I mean? It's a way to fill that void, I feel
like. Right. That's really good.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I've talked to so many people that have said, well, my wife doesn't do that for me, or she doesn't do this for me, or they almost place an expectation, one that's unrealistic.
Yeah.
They try to put their spouse in an area that only God is meant to fulfill.
Yeah.
Like bringing you happiness and joy and things of that nature.
Yeah.
But first and foremost, we have to get that from God. We can't put that on our spouse. Whether you're getting the attention or not, that is something only God, we have a place in our heart. Only God's going to fill that place. Yeah. So,
and even practically, I kind of took that to a spiritual level. Practically, even if it's not something super spiritual, find something you enjoy on your own. Wives, if your husband isn't necessarily being the knight in shining armor that you thought he was going to be, find something you enjoy that does not damage your family. Let me specify this. But find something you enjoy. Find a hobby you like. Remember things that you enjoy doing so that, okay, oh, good, he's ignoring me. Oh, yay, I get to go do that thing that I really enjoy doing. You know, maybe your husband hates Hallmark movies, you know? Okay,
that'd
good.
Be me.
Good, he's on his phone. I'm going to go watch, you know, a Hallmark movie that he would hate. Just don't sit and play a pity party. Find right. ways to find enjoyment in spite of it. Right. And keep praying and keep believing for that intimacy.
So what kind of things do you enjoy? What are the things that make Amy like brings you joy, like having fun?
I love just writing. Kicking
back? Oh yes.
A lot of times writing. If I'm feeling ignored by you, I'll say, okay, good. He's tied up for an hour. I'm gonna go write, and I'm putting together some books. I'm like, I'm gonna work on my book. Good, he's distracted. I'm gonna have some quiet time and uninterrupted time, and I'm gonna work on my book. So whereas before I would get my feelings hurt and kind of be like, he doesn't care, he doesn't see that I'm sitting over here by myself. When is he gonna look over here and notice me? I'm like, okay, good. I hope he doesn't notice me for an hour. I'm gonna work on this book, and me and God are gonna make a difference in this world.
Yeah.
You know, so it, just kind of changing that focus and not putting all your fulfillment on your spouse, mm-hmm. paying attention to you.
Yeah.
My main focus is not to get my spouse to love me. My main focus is to worship the lover of my soul.
That's true.
And so as long as I'm focused on worshiping him, if I feel ignored, turn on some worship music. Pour out praise to the one true lover of your soul, your creator. Your husband is your maker. Worship him, you know. So I think to wrap it up too, what if we're not feeling connected with our spouse? What if we feel like we don't really know our spouse anymore? Are there any creative ways that we can get connected again and not feel so lonely or isolated? I think you kind of have some good advice here.
Well, I'm all about competition.
Mm-hmm.
So it motivates me.
Mm-hmm.
So even to this day, I feel like I'm trying to win you over every day. Mm-hmm. Like my wife is hot. I know she goes out. My kids tell me that guys hit on her at the store and guys honk at her. And then she's got young college guys asking her stuff out of the window. I'm like, man, my goodness. But ever since I've known Amy, it's been like that. So for me, it's a constant pursuing of my wife. And husbands, I want to encourage you to do this with your wife. Just pursue her every day. Don't act like, oh, I've got her, I don't have to work anymore. No, you should work every day and pursue that woman.
And I'll tell you, when a husband makes a wife feel beautiful and valued, then she in turn wants to please her husband. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? She wants to give her husband attention in many different ways. If the husband isn't, you know, lifting her up and letting her know, you know, here and there, hey, you're cute. Hey, here's a, and I'm not always talking about sexual touch, just touching the arm, giving each other a hug, you know, bumping into each other, just playing around with each other. It makes you feel like your spouse cares. And so I think that's great. You want to impress them and find ways to pursue them. I oftentimes think, what would we do if we were dating? Or what would I do if we were dating? You know, how would I try to impress him? Or how would I try to please him? And so I think that's a good thing to remember, is to not let it get old in that way.
Right. And I know one thing Amy loves is going out on dates, nice dates. She loves buying new clothes for the date. She will buy something and hold on to it for 6 months, waiting for a specific date night.
I know sometimes I'll wear something on a date and you'll say, when'd you get that? I was like, I got it a while ago. I was waiting for you to take me out on a date to bring it out.
So I know that's something that she enjoys. So also just finding things that your spouse enjoys and just getting involved with them.
Yeah.
Just, I mean, even if you don't enjoy it, take one for the team or learn how to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And just find a way to engage and connect with your spouse in that way.
I like it. That's like awesome. So yeah, hopefully we have husbands and wives both listening to this and both actively working toward not making your spouse feel lonely, not disengaging, but be engaged. If you have hurts, if you have stress, don't disengage. Go to God, ask Him to help you through it, ask Him to give you peace, and just make a commitment to stay in the game and stay connected with your spouse and with your kids. So just as a reminder, we have ways that you can get a hold of us.
Yes, we would love to hear from you guys. So this is how you can get in touch with us. Go to becomingonepod.com and you can contact us through that website, or you can email us at connect@becomingonepod.com.
And one is spelled out O-N-E.
O-N-E, that's correct.
So we had a question come in.
This is my favorite part. Yeah, I love hearing from you guys, from our friends and seeing what they got for us.
Yeah,
what we got today.
She was asking about if your spouse or you are in ministry or you own your own business, how do you stay connected? That's so hard if, you know, ministry never stops, owning your own business never stops. You're everything. How can you feel like you're still connected with your spouse in spite of that?
Well, since you own your own business, for me, let me speak on the ministry piece first.
Okay.
Because I've been involved in praise and worship. I think I've been involved in it for maybe 8 to 10 years. I don't even know at this point. Been singing for a long time. I just had to come to a point to where I was doing it so much that I did not connect with my wife or my family. And you have to remember that family first, ministry second. So God, family, ministry is the order it should be. And I think it's tough sometimes because you kind of get pulled, hey, we'd love you to do this at church, love you to do this here and there. And it's tough sometimes to say no, but you have to learn that your family comes first. A man is responsible for his family before anything else, and making sure that they're taken care of, that you're teaching them and instilling in them the values that they need to be successful in life. So ministry for me is something I could speak on because I've had to put myself in that situation and kind of cut back on some of that stuff.
And really, you don't have to be everything to everybody.
And that's good.
Sometimes a kind, firm, respectful no is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be okay with maybe people feeling disappointed that you can't get to it right then. Sometimes it's not a no. Sometimes it's, I will look into that as soon as I get back into the office. Instead of, we have our emails come straight to our phone. We have everything coming straight to our phone, text messages. We can handle it all the time. Sometimes it's either waiting to answer it or it's saying, I will look at that as soon as I get into the office on Monday. I care about what you're saying. I can't look at it right now. Because you may be hanging out with your family. You may not be doing anything of significance to anyone else in the world except your kids or your spouse. But hey, it is important and you have to be able to say no, or I'll get to that soon, not yet. And for me, I think the number one thing that I am seeing so much is remember the Sabbath to keep it holy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 10 commandments that are famous. Some of them are thou shalt not murder. Okay. I won't murder. Thou shalt not steal. Okay, I would never go into the store and steal. Like, I would feel so stupid doing that. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Oh, well, God, you know, I don't know about that. To me, I mean, it should be the easiest, you know? I mean, murder is a huge deal. Stealing is a huge deal. Keeping the Sabbath holy, don't work for 24 hours. You would think that would be easy, but I see so many followers of Christ who don't do that. Mm-hmm. And really, it's a time set apart to show honor to God. But really, it's one of the greatest gifts God has ever given us.
Yeah, it's for us.
It's a day of rest. And yeah. God didn't ask us to do something he wasn't willing to do. And I remember talking to a man who was a cashier at the store, and he was talking about how much he had been working. And this was his he worked 7 days in a row. And I told him, I said, hey, if God needed a day of rest, then surely you do too. And he kind of laughed, but it's so true. You know, God set that example, and he took a day of rest. And I'm not stronger than God. I'm not more significant than God. Mm-hmm. Anything I'm doing is not of more significance than creating the universe. And so anyways, I just think sometimes our perspective is off, you know? Sometimes we need to sit back and say, no, this time is sacred. It's not a request, it's a command. And really, I'm going against a commandment of God if I'm choosing to work on this day. Yeah. Just like if I chose to go out and murder someone right now. Yes, you know, I'm going against the commandment of God. And when we set that aside, that Sabbath time aside, and that day of rest, it frees our mind and our relationships from the clutter of work and ministry.
Right.
It's a day of rest where we just get to all hang out, be refreshed, remember what it's like to just be. Again, sometimes work, sometimes ministry are convenient distractions from actually connecting and engaging with people. We've gotten really good with cluttering our lives. And sometimes we just have to be okay with just being and being present with the people around us.
That's so good. Well, friends, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast.
Yeah, we had fun today and we enjoyed this time with you. You can visit our website at becomingonepod.com. And until then, we look forward to spending time with you next time.
See you next time.